Hello, this is Priscilla from Upstream Ministries, www.upstreamca.org, and I'm going to share with you three prophecies. The first one is called Chocolate Icing, and this is like a love letter from the Lord. He said, "I am the chocolate icing on your cake. I am sweet and yummy to the taste. I have some sweet morsels I want to share with you, my beloveds. Ladies like sweet things because of their sensitivity, and I made you that way so that when a man gets married with you, you have perfect balance together. You make a whole. But for many of you that have sacrificed marriage or have failed marriages, I am your lover, and I am the sweetness of your life. I love that. Yes, I said, I love that. I love it that you look to me for sweetness when you need it. I want to be there for you and to be the best thing on your plate. I am full of love and kindness for you because I delight in you, my beloveds. There are many men also who have a taste for things that are sweet and not sour. And a woman can add so much love to his life that it will tenderize the rough places in him. There are others that are too wild and untamed to appreciate a woman or even who have such anger seething inside they are incapable of love, but only violence. But I am love, and I love you. I have wrapped you with bands of love, even though you have not understood it all, nor everything I have put you through. I have delighted in you when I see you persevere in believing me, even when everything around you says otherwise. Even when the devil has tormented you and tried to make you feel as though you failed me one too many times and are now disqualified, I am proud of you when you withstand his lies and tell him to get out. I am proud of you when you fail and you come to me and open your heart to me, even though you feel ashamed. I am proud of you when you fail because it doesn't stop you from trying again and again to please me and to overcome all the obstacles in your lives. I want you to rejoice when you fail, after you get over your initial pain, when you realize you've blown it. I want you to come to me in the secret place and worship. Show the enemy that no matter what happens, you can run to me. My tender mercies endure forever. Beloveds, I want for you to also have that same tenderness and understanding for those who have not yet been broken as you have. I want you to keep believing for miracles. I am full of miracles I want to perform through you. But you know that unless you were broken and bruised and come to the end of your self-life, that you would take that power and it would cause you to be puffed up like Satan was if your character was not more perfected. Broken vessels know that it's not them that are doing the miracles, that it is me doing them through them. I have many favorites. Do not give in to an exclusive gospel from anyone who thinks they are the beginning and the end of things. I am the only beginning and end. I am God Almighty, the creator of the universe. I will not share my glory with another. I am increasing my glory in you as you choose me over other distractions. I am increasing my love, peace, joy, and all that I am in you as you rest and minister to me. And as you rest and let me minister to you, I have set many of you apart from others that you might put me first. If you are easily distracted by the needs of others over my need to have you near me, then I must do things to get your focus back on me. It is in contemplating, beholding, and communion with me that life is given you. My life. It is only when you take time with me and commit yourself, setting your sights on what I want, that you can hear from me more clearly. If you are not dead to self yet, then you will continue holding on to the things of this world, to reputation, to what people think of you, to people, to things, to houses, cars, books, comforts, etc. There is nothing you have that I can't replace. There is nothing you want that I can't provide. I purchased a rest for you that you wouldn't have to strive. If you find yourself anxious, it may be that you're striving and not just resting in me and allowing me to take control of everything in your life. I died that you would have a life of abundance in me. The priest portion was me. It wasn't land. It wasn't houses and the rich things of this world, though they were provided for by the rest of Israel. Their portion was me. Ezekiel 44:28 Amplified regarding the priest says, "This, their ministry to me, shall be to them as an inheritance, for I am their inheritance, and ye shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession." Revelation 1:5-6 says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The Lord continued, "Beloved, it is not that I don't want to bless you with things and finances, but it is so that you can be a blessing to others and to do the work of my kingdom, not to build your own kingdom. For the moment you entertain me, myself, and I, then you fall to pride. It is not your church, it is my church. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are not to lord it over those who are less gifted than you, that you have something they don't have. You are to walk in humility if you want to bear the yoke of my kingdom and glory. Humility doesn't think or make others feel lesser than. I have great love for the weakest of individuals, for I know the great burdens they have had to bear, even those who are so angry and raging. I know that person who has had to bear rejection all their life. I know what it takes to get it all out of them. I know the defensive pride and rage inside a woman who was molested as a young girl and couldn't understand how a parent could do that. I know, and I'm angry too, but I also know the pain of the perpetrators. I know who was hurt themselves, and I know who is just wicked because they choose to be. I know who would choose me eventually. You must understand that I don't condone any violation of the law. I am holy, and I want you to be holy, but I know it takes longer for some than others because of the wickedness done to them to heal. I know what it takes to make the blind see, the deaf to hear, spiritually speaking. I know the deep things of a man's heart. I know all things. I alone am the wise God. I am about to turn up your discernment and your wisdom as you rely on me for an opinion about others, as you seek me on their behalf. Every time you rely on your own wisdom, you defy the most Holy Spirit within you. Everything you do, I want you to do in love, not in a sense of obligation. If you have a sense of obligation, then check yourself for striving. I want you to do what I tell you to do. But for that, you must listen for my voice. You can't just give me 15 minutes in prayer and rush away and spend the rest of the day not even giving me a thought. If you really want to hear, you must be a good listener of the Word and the Word of Life, the Living Word. Worship me in the beauty of holiness, I said. I have given you grace to come into the throne room whenever you want. Think about that. Think about how the high priest alone could come near. But now the way has been open for you forever to come before me, to come into my very presence. Only the enemy keeps you from it. He tries to convince you you aren't worthy or that I have given up on you. But I said, my love endures forever. My love never fails. Endure hardship like a good soldier. Do not turn away from the privilege I died for, so that you could come into my arms of love and learn to give the same grace I've given you in forgiving all you have done to others." 1 Peter 4:7-8 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." And that's the end of that word. Hallelujah. The next word is called consternation. Sometimes the Lord will give me a word and then I don't remember the meaning of the word, so I looked up consternation, and it says, amazement or dismay that hinders or throws into confusion. So, he started with Acts 2, verses 2 through 8. This is New King James Version. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these who speak Galileans? And how is it we hear each in our own language in which we were born? So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. John 2, 9 to 10 says, and he said to them, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. And the Lord began to speak, beloveds, I do not want you thrown into confusion when I pour out the best wine that I have saved for last. I have so much to share with you and so much I want you to know. I am releasing angels of destiny and angels of breakthrough to many of you so that you will understand what your role is in the days ahead, without confusion, without consternation. I want you to look for me to do something that you will marvel and be astonished at. I want you to anticipate the goodness of my presence in the midst of turmoil and the confusion the world will be in. For I am a good father who gives good gifts to my children. I will dismay many who are wise in their own opinions. Make sure you're not a part of that crowd, that you don't lean on your own understanding or that which is taught you by man's carnal thinking, but lean on me. I deposited Holy Spirit in you, and he is your teacher. He is the one who leads you into truth and who sheds love abroad in your hearts. It is he who pours down oil from heaven that will anoint you for the works to come. So lean on him for the wisdom and direction you need. Do not lean on others. Do not lean on man's understanding, but look and ask for my understanding. I told you that I would give to anyone who asks. I am coming again like a mighty rushing wind. I will roar over my people and break the chains of affliction and torment, of bondage and distress. For I have promised freedom from death. I have promised you life eternal. So put away all carnal thinking. Put away your own ideas of what you think I should or shouldn't do. And lean on me for all the answers, beloved. I am your beloved, and you are mine. There is nothing I won't do for radical lovers. So give your whole heart to me. Give everything that weighs you down. Cast all your cares upon me. Lay down all your worries and concerns at my feet. I am your eternal treasure. Am I not worth more than gold, more than your house, more than your things? Depend on me, for much of what is going to come will bring the enemy's confusion upon the sons of men. But I want golden vessels, and I am refining you in the fires, and you will come forth as gold. But you need to lay down your life and not cling to it. Lay it all down, beloveds. Ask me for the grace to do it. I am mercy and I am grace. I am love and I will see you through anything that comes, but you must lay down your life to save it. The world will be in consternation over what I do in and through you. They will be dismayed and in great turmoil who have hated me and sought their own way. My glory is going to exponentially increase such that even you will be in astonishment at what I do. So prepare your hearts for habitation. Make me your earnest and only desire. Renew your first love for me. The scripture Ezekiel 47:12, New King James says, Along the banks of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear much fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine." And this is just my interjection as I reread this. Beloveds, you are the trees. In Isaiah 61, God calls us trees of righteousness. And it is us that are going to be able to bear fruit every month, that our fruit will fail, that our leaves won't wither, and that they'll be for food. The fruit will be for food and our leaves for medicine. He's talking about believers, not actual trees. Okay? Okay, so the next word is called neck to neck. Excuse me. It starts with Matthew 23, 37 to 39. Jesus lamenting over Jerusalem. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.' Like a father laments over a stillborn child, I lament over those who refuse my love," the Lord says. "My desire for mankind was to have a people who know how much I am love, and to have a love relationship with them. So many are so hardened now towards me because of judging what they have seen in my church. They have seen the abuse, the compromise, the greed and pride, and even the murder. Yes, I said, if you hate others, you are guilty of murder. You gossip and criticize others through your words and in your hearts. Then come to me and want mercy for yourself. I gave you to be a blessing to the nations and to reflect my heart that is like a mother hen's to the world. To him who shows no mercy, there will be no mercy." James 2:13. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." The Lord continued, "To the one who shows mercy, even when their heart has been so abused and neglected, there will be great mercy shown, and they will triumph over darkness. I do not call you to have mercy on those I do not have mercy on. I do not call you to be yoked to darkness, but you are to honor those whom I honor and love. I love the brokenhearted, and even when they spew forth bitterness, if you will show them true love, those that I show you, then you will see a commensurate healing with the love shown. There are some who are so broken and battered that no matter what you do, they will see it as rejection because they look through a skewed lens. I want to get neck to neck with my prophets and apostles right now, with my worshipers, with my prayer warriors, because I have a greater glory I want you to receive. You cannot receive it except in my presence. So if you want this gift I have to give you of great love, great mercy, great kindness, great joy, great peace, great self-control, and all the other attributes that you see in me, then you must become like a child and lay down your agenda and stay in my arms for a while. Just like a father comforts his hurt child, I will comfort you. I will impart to you my love and kindness. I am pouring out oil and new wine. I am pouring and pouring. Anticipate a greater glory." Haggai 2, 6 to 9 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they will come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." And then he continued, "And as you learn to rejoice in all things, you will see more clearly. You will see with eyes of faith, You will see with my eyes of mercy. You will see people for who I want to make them to be, rather than who they are to you now. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, so you must listen to my voice and not your own heart. For I alone know what is in the heart of a man or woman, child or youth. I know all things. You have to listen to me carefully as I tell you that there are many, even in the church, who will not bow, who will not change. Even when I send you in with a rhema word that brings glory and judgment, there will be many who will not repent. Some will, and some will only feel fear for a moment, but then return to their vomit like a dog. I do not rejoice or gloat over those who refuse my heart. I do not rejoice to have to bring judgment. It breaks my heart. So you must understand that when I do bring judgment, there is no goodness in gloating. Be careful, beloveds, that you do not render your own judgments. You must only say what I say. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." Hallelujah. "Come to me," he said, "and I will tell you what I see. Come to me and let me be the all-knowing one. Sometimes I will not tell you anything because I'm sheltering that broken one. Sometimes I'll be silent in order for you to evaluate your own heart in the matter. Also, do not be self-centered. Do not think that everything you fight is about you. Ask me and I'll show you what you're battling and why. Do not give in to self-condemnation that the enemy would like to trick you into. If you repent, I forgive, even if it takes repentance over and over till you are walking in more freedom. The turning away of repentance is a progressive process of healing and illumination of truth and a heart issue. So when the lost come in, be careful not to disdain the one who is young spiritually. Be patient like a mother who sees her one-year-old trying to walk. He falls down again and again. She doesn't get mad at him. She helps him up and again he falls, and she helps him up again. That is the nature of my heart as well. Ecclesiastes 7:21-22. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. The Lord continued, "The humility I want is that of a servant, a heart that knows that with God all things are possible, casting all your cares on me, for I care for you. Many things ahead will seem impossible in the natural to deal with, yet with faith in your God, you will overcome and do great exploits. I ask many of you in the days to come, do you love me? Just as I asked Peter, do you love me? Do you truly love me? Then feed my sheep. Do not be like the hirelings and do it only for what you can get out of it, whether it be attention, acclaim, reputation, worldly wealth, etc. There is no love in selfishness. There is no love in self-preservation and self-exaltation. Do all things as unto me. When you look into another's eyes, you are looking at my creation. You treat them as you would like to be treated. Would you want me to uncover all your secret sins? Would you want me to tell everyone about the things you and I only know you do behind the back of others? Because you don't understand how much I love you yet? Of course, you wouldn't want that. So be careful, for with great power comes great accountability. Avoid taking credit for what I do in and through you. Rejoice that you are mine and boast in my goodness, not yours, and only share about others when I say it's okay." 1 Peter chapter 5:1-7. "I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church," this is the Amplified Version, "as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a share in the glory, the honor and splendor that is to be revealed, disclosed, and unfolded. Tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God that is your responsibility. Not by coercion or constraint, but willingly. Not dishonorably motivated by the advantages and profits belonging to the office, but eagerly and cheerfully. Not domineering as arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing persons over those in your charge, but being examples, patterns, and models of Christian living to the flock, the congregation. And then when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will win the conqueror's crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, blessing to the humble. See Proverbs 3:34. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. The Lord continued, I am full of love for my bride, and I am washing and washing. I am pouring on oil and spraying her with perfume, that she will be prepared to walk and talk with me and to perform the duties of a glorious bride adorned with my goodness. I am like a mother or father looking down on my immature teenager and seeing all the immaturity and seeing all the mistakes, yet loving her and loving her till she realizes how much I really love her or him. It is my love that leads to repentance and my love that casts down all fear. Fear is the root for many of you that are still struggling. It is usually the first to get inroads into my beloveds. So I will use my great love to drive it out. But you must be still and know that I am God. It is in quietness and rest that restoration comes. And Isaiah 30:15-16a says, For this, thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, No, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee. And that's the end of that word and this short audio. So God bless you all. Going in and coming out, and in every which way. Take care.